When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
Celebrate and save at Ashley's Anniversary Sale. With Hot Buys, your choice of colors starting at just $3.99. Ashley Sleep Mattresses starting at $2.50. Plus, receive a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. And shop top mattress brands like Stearns & Foster, Tempur-Pedic, Purple, and Beautyrest Black with 60-month special financing only at Ashley. Subject to credit approval, no minimum purchase required. Minimum monthly payment, down payment, tax, and delivery may be required. See store for details.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Wednesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, the free Odyssey app, and of course streaming live on YouTube, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS, number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Got Stuart Kovacs and Moist Mike rocking and rolling with me all the way up until 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Bark Winkler is going to stop by for a little Winkler Wednesday. That comes your way at 4:40 p.m. Eastern, 1:40 p.m. Pacific. And then to kick off the final hour of the show at 5 p.m. Eastern, which would be 2 p.m. Pacific, Nyheim Hines, who used to be the running back in Indianapolis and Buffalo, and now he's going to the Cleveland Browns with the new league year about to get underway 59 minutes from now, but who's counting? And also, it's a little anticlimactic when we get to 4 p.m. Eastern because of this legal tampering window. We just now know all the moves that have been reported in the last 48 hours from Monday and Tuesday. They can now become officially announced by those ball clubs at 4 p.m. Eastern. I'm going to start off the show with a little NIL conversation. And college athletics is really the one sport where the coaches are the face of the sport. Like, if I asked you who's the face of the NBA, you would still say it's LeBron James. There could be other answers, but it's still LeBron James. I don't think we could get through 10 names without it being a player. Now, like the coaches in the NBA, that'd be the face of the sport. I guess you could argue a Steve Kerr, years ago, Greg Popovich, but the players are what drive the sport. In Major League Baseball, there's not a manager that drives the sport. The players drive the sport. In the NFL, I guess there's really only been one coach in the last 20 years that you could argue could be the face of the sport, but then it's overshadowed by his players. You could maybe argue two NFL coaches. Belichick for a long time, and then recently Andy Reid, but still you think of Tom Brady and you think of Andy Reid first. Hockey, with how much those coaches rotate, there's not a coach that's the face of the sport. It's always about the players. For years it was Crosby and Ovechkin. Now it's Connor McDavid. But in college basketball, the face of the sport for a long time was Coach Krzyzewski. Then it started to become Jay Wright. Both, though, have walked away from the game. Now, Coach K could say it's because of age. I think it's because of NIL. and the transfer portal. Jay Wright, we know, walked away from the game because of the changes in college basketball. In college football, the face of the sport for the last 15 years was Nick Saban. Nick Saban, it was speculated, then it was confirmed last week in that ESPN article, and then he doubled down on it the other day when he was testifying in front of Congress. So now we're in a spot in college athletics where I'm not bashing the format. I'm not. I've been a big-time proponent and a big-time advocate for players and college kids having the freedom to choose. Because I know when I was in college, college was about taking risks, taking chances, and sometimes you make the right decision, sometimes you make the wrong decision, but it's about what you could learn in that 3, 4-year, 5-year period, whatever it is, when you're at that university. So I had no problem when we knew for years you would have some like student manager or someone that was lower level on your staff dropping off a bag of cash to some recruit to get him there. When that was illegal, I'm fine and now allowing a legal way for athletes, for student athletes to get paid. Like when I was in college, this radio network that now I have the honor of hosting Monday through Fridays from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern, they paid me to be a college football radio stringer whenever there was a game or two that had national appeal on that Ion college football show that ACK used to do. So I could have, when I was in college, and I did, I was able to make some money. Not that it was life-changing money. It was to buy some like a beer keg or something like that, or maybe like an extra slice of pizza or a cheesesteak. But I was able to use my ability, right? Technically, my name, image, and likeness, and it wasn't for a big price, but to make a few dollars. So I have no problem with a college athlete who not everyone goes on to go to the NFL or go to the NBA and play a sport professionally, where if they're popular enough where a car dealership or if a restaurant wants to sponsor them, I'm fine with that. But let's also be real about it. NIL is just a front to allow the old way that things were done to now be legal. Because a lot of this is, all right, some car dealership or you have some advertisement that's done. That's just what it's used as a front. But we all know what happens. Even though the schools aren't allowed to facilitate the deals, the schools know who they want. They make sure the people that run the collectives know who they want. And you got to cross your T's and dot your I's so you don't get caught and you don't get investigated. And you allow the collective through business opportunities to pursue the college athletes that you want. But there is a murky area about this, and it is the Wild West. Like, I acknowledge I'm for this, but there's really no kind of governing body here, and there's really no rules here where you start to wonder, which I think that was lost in the whole Nick Saban thing yesterday, because it's easy to say, oh, Nick Saban, you made all these millions on college athletes, and now you're bitching when they get a piece of the pie. Saban's not fully against NIL, but he's just wondering, are kids making the best decisions that's in the best interest of themselves? And you could argue that, let's just throw out a number. Let's say it's $40,000. That a school says, Zach, let's say I'm an offensive lineman recruit. We want you to come to Alabama. We'll give you $40,000. And the guaranteed, if you sign with Alabama, is $15,000. So a kid could say, I'll go to Alabama for 1 year, get $15,000. I may not even see the full $40,000. And then a year later, you go right back into the transfer portal and you're going for another signing bonus. And that happens. That's been happening in the sport. But if I'm chasing the money, I could be making the best decision for myself, or it could also backfire. Because I do think chasing the money and then chasing a professional career sometimes could lead down a collision course where I could say, all righty, I'm going to Alabama, then I'll transfer to A&M so I could go get a combined $30,000 in 2 years real quickly. But am I in the right spot to be developed and to move my game forward that in the long run could go make me more money? But if I'm just a popular college athlete and I really don't have a great chance of going pro, yeah. Like, how many times has a kid become a sensation overnight where it's not a star player that hits a big shot of the NCAA tournament or you have a big moment, and in previous years you weren't able to capitalize off of that? So you absolutely should be able to capitalize that. The problem is, and this is always what I say with NIL, when coaches complain about NIL, they never look good. But NIL is here. NIL is not going anywhere. The transfer portal is here. It's not going anywhere. But we could also acknowledge that there's a lot of uncertainty. And all I could say is you're just hoping that the players are making the right decisions. But if you pursue to just chase the biggest bag of cash and it doesn't work out for you long term, you got to live with that. So I don't have a problem. What I'm saying is I really don't have a problem in the large scheme of things with NIL, with the transfer portal. I think kids should be able to make decisions and they shouldn't just be held hostage at a school because they decided to commit there when they were in high school. If it's not working for them, whatever the reasons are, they should be able to go elsewhere. Whether that's financially, personally, whatever it is, you should be able to explore other opportunities. But with that comes great risk. And with that, you could be making the right decision or you could be making the wrong decision. But what you keep on hearing from many big-name coaches, and it's the reason why Jay Wright retired, it's the reason why Nick Saban retired, it's the reason why Coach K retired, Roy Williams, the list goes on and on and on. I know you could use age for some of them, but I don't think those guys didn't want to continue coaching. I think they were just tired of changing the way that they were going to have to change when they were rooted in their ways for so many years. Like, look at a guy like Dabo Swinney. Dabo Swinney could have been the face of college football for the next two decades. But Dabo doesn't embrace the transfer portal. Dabo mocks name, image, and likeness. Remember, he said our program was built on God's name, image, and likeness. So let's be real. If I'm a recruit right now, even as great as the Clemson program once was under Dabo Swinney, am I going to really mesh with that coach? Am I going to really want to play for that coach when he's not really in it for me to make any money? Or he doesn't give that front and give that appearance off publicly that he's going to embrace NIL. Personally, I would pass on Dabo Swinney. But we'll get into who are the future faces of college football and college basketball in just a second. But let me play you two legends. Here is Nick Saban, legend number one, testifying in front of Congress, and he admits that NIL drove him to retire.
All the things that I believed in for all these years no longer exist in college athletics. It's always was about developing players. It was always about helping people be more successful in life. My wife even said to me, you know, like right before I retired, and said, why are we doing this? And I said, what do you mean? She said, all they care about is how much you're going to pay them. They don't care about how you're going to develop them, which is all what we've always done. So why are we doing this? We really are creating a circumstance here that is not beneficial to the development of young people, which is why I always did what I did. And that's the reason that I always liked college athletics more than the NFL, is because you had the opportunity to develop young people.
So Saban's annoyed with NIL and the transfer portal, but this is mainly about NIL for one big reason. It levels the playing field. It makes his job tougher because for a while he could build a program where you have the All-Americans on the first team, the All-Americans on the second team, and you tell the All-Americans of the second team that are younger to wait their turn. But now that kid could go there for a year, think they're making the right decision, go get a bag of cash to go elsewhere, and then go get more playing time somewhere else. So I could understand why Saban walked away. I could understand why some people are saying, well, coach, you made all these money off college athletes. He still put in an incredible amount of work, Nick Saban. And I don't think Saban is against players making money, but for Saban, he doesn't want the conversation to start about money. He's thinking about developing these athletes into pro football players. And sometimes, like I said, those ideas of making the most money in college and then also doing what's best for your future in the NFL, they could go down a road and they could crash into one another. So, like, I understand when people are going to be like, oh, this is old man Saban, like, shut your mouth, blah, 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 blah. But I don't think we should totally dismiss him because I do think his heart is in the right place, and I do think we need more guidelines, but the NCAA is never going to really dip their toe in those waters. Let's hear from Rick Pitino, So Rick Pitino's someone that will never walk away from the game. They'll have to drag him out because now he's coaching St. John's. He's on a part of my take. Rick Pitino says he hates the transfer portal in NIL.
I'm not enjoying this. And I said it not as far as the team. I'm not enjoying what goes on right now in college basketball because it's about growing. I may be looking at three guys returning next year and I got to bring in 10. They all become free agents. And what I really don't like about where I'm at right now is we're sitting around meeting and saying, I'm hearing this guy from North Carolina may be available. This guy from Duke, Cincinnati. This guy from Wisconsin may leave. This guy from Ohio State. And to me, I was at Iona. The entirely every good player in the MAC was poached by another school. And for someone growing up who's loved college basketball, it's just not something I like. I think Jay Wright got out of it because of that. And there's no correctable solution.
Yeah.
Unless they become employees where we can sign them to contracts for 2-3 years. You know, I don't blame a kid to put his name in a hat. He's making, say, six figures, and he can make high six figures. Why not?
Yeah.
We would all do that if we could. It's something I'm not used to, something I don't like, and it's not enjoyable.
So a point that he made there that I think doesn't get talked about enough is we're seeing now with the haves and the have-nots, the haves losing some of their guys because of NIL. But think about where Rick Pitino has been recently, Iona. Think about where I went to college at Temple. Like a school like Temple, their basketball team right now was six most wins of all time. Program's a joke now. The football team had things humming. The football team is now a joke. It's because they have no NIL funding. And also, you develop a player. Like, look at Hassan Reddick, who was a walk-on, spent his entire career at Temple, then was a top 15 pick in the draft. That guy, after one good year at Temple, would have been poached by a bigger program, would have been thrown a big bag of cash. So the smaller schools now really don't have a place in college athletics. And in minus one sport, the NCAA tournament. Like if you could have a Cinderella run, like what you got at FAU or Loyola Chicago, George Mason, as we've seen throughout the years. But in college football, the small program, pretty much dead now. And there's not a place for it, and it's the haves and the have-nots. But getting back to the bigger conversation, with all these legendary coaches that are stuck in their ways and they don't want to adapt, and we're seeing them driven out of the sport on their own choosing, even though it's really because they don't want to change the NIL and the transfer portal, who are the future faces of college football and college basketball? College basketball is such a tough one because it was going to be Jay Wright. Now he's out. Coach K is done. Samter said, what about Calipari? Calipari is polarizing. Everyone knows who he is. He's won one championship, though. And I don't know how many more years Calipari is going to coach. I think it's Danny Hurley at UConn. Big school, big brand, young, fiery, intimidating, polarizing. You know, I think 50% of the people love him, 50% of the people hate him. But now you got to win more. And he just won his first championship. And UConn is a dominant team. They could easily win back-to-back championships. So Hurley continues to be in the mix the next few years. He could become the face of college basketball. For college football, it's a great question. And I think most people would say it's Kirby Smart. I don't think, and I know SEC fans would be like, I hate Kirby Smart just because he's the coach at Georgia and he's won two championships. But I don't think nationally right now the brand of Kirby Smart is really polarizing. Where there's 50% of the people that love him, 50% of the people that hate him, which was the case with the Nick Saban. So I would say it's Kirby Smart, and there's a difference of being the king of the sport and then the face of the sport, but I do think it's open. And, you know, it's not going to be Ryan Day. Could it be Dan Lanning at Oregon? They got to win. Kalen DeBoer, I don't think he has the personality to be the face of the sport at Alabama. Like Lane Kiffin, I don't think you win a national championship at Ole Miss, but Lane Kiffin, if he got a bigger job, like if he got the Alabama job, he'd be the face of college football.
I got a name.
Yeah, go ahead.
What about Dion? Maybe not at Colorado, but his next step, if it's FSU or the SEC.
Potentially.
Dion has the charisma, the passion, the name.
He's got to win, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, but I don't think he has to win at Colorado. If he can go from Colorado to like the SEC or to FSU, Norvell's not going anywhere, but you know what I mean, something like
that. There is a difference in us talking about someone a lot and then someone being the face of the sport. Like Dion is one of the coaches, Coach Prime. Let me be respectful. Coach Prime.
Sorry, I apologize.
Well, I am a believer. I am a believer, and Coach Prime knows that.
Believer or believer?
Both. I do like Justin Bieber.
Okay.
But Coach Prime is someone that we talked a lot about for 2 months. But I would not say that he's the face of the sport. But does he have it in him to be the face of the sport?
Not yet, but from a brand
standpoint, he's one of the greatest entertainers of all time. But ultimately, you got to win. I think you got to go somewhere else bigger than Colorado. So who is the future faces of college football and college basketball? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. And by the way, I see this is a very popular topic in the YouTube chat, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio. No, I did not have to go to a funeral today. No, I did not have a job interview today. No, there's not a suit in the building that's making me dressed up. I was at a conference today, a radio conference today, the Barrett Sports Media Conference, and I thought I had to wear a button down to the conference. And you know what's really annoying? I just got this shirt sent to the dry cleaners and wearing it since 10 a.m. this morning, I already feel like it's wrinkled, this entire shirt. You can never win with button downs. They always get very wrinkly very easily. And this is a tailored shirt. I think I've lost a little bit more weight because it feels a little bit bigger and I haven't bought it this long ago. But right away, I just feel like it's all wrinkled.
So here's the question. When you say tailored, do you buy it off the rack and then get it fixed up by a tailor?
Yes.
Okay, so when I get my tailored shirts, and here's what I recommend.
Mm-hmm. Snobby Sam to here. I'm going to love
I got
this.
A guy. He comes in from overseas.
Mm-hmm.
He just measures my body.
Wait, just to fit you? He comes in from overseas?
No, he has a lot of clients, yeah. But I go to see him.
Mm-hmm.
He comes in like 3 times a year. He measures your body. You pick out whatever fabric or style you want. A
lot of cloth for
and
your
he
boy.
And he makes the shirt around your body as opposed to you finding a shirt on the rack and having it tailored to fit you. And I'm telling you, man, like, shirts fit me. You saw it at the Super Bowl. And you've seen me, you know, at some of these events
where
I wear the tailored shirts. They
Mucho
fit my
Danero?
Body because
Mad
they're
Guapo?
Made for me. Yeah.
How much? How much are you talking for one shirt?
So you usually get like a package, but I'll usually get like 5 shirts to 10 shirts, usually somewhere between $60 and $70 a shirt.
Oh, that's not bad. So it's probably like $120 for me because my shirts are double your size.
No, it's not about size.
No, okay. So size doesn't matter here is what you're saying.
No, I mean, maybe like an extra $5, but not significant.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and it's not the size, it's how you wear it.
So hook me up with your guy. Your guy will talk to my guy, and then I'll make sure that my shirt's a little bit more fitted. But I do feel good today wearing a button down. Maybe we'll get more button downs.
Often.
Yeah, let's not get carried away.
Sometimes you come in here with sweatpants and like an oversized T-shirt. I'm like, dude, you know, you're a
good-looking
guy.
Oversized T-shirt? I don't think I wear many oversized T-shirts. I don't think I own any oversized T-shirts.
I've seen you in sweatpants. I've seen you with
sweatpants,
shirt, you know,
yes.
T-shirts.
And you bet your ass I will continue to wear sweatpants to work. It's a very comfortable way of living.
Well, maybe not oversized T-shirt, but, you know, you'll wear like, you know, kind of like what I'm wearing, like, you know, the polo shirt.
Well, you know what my problem is? I lost so much weight.
Yeah, so then
that I have some shirts that are too big now that I still could get away with wearing them. And then, yeah, some days they do look a little
And when
big.
You're sitting down, you know, it's not terrible. But when you're walking around, I'm like, you know what? Size down a little bit. You look great.
Yeah, I appreciate it. 855-212-4CBS.
I may or may not be hitting on you.
4227. Jeez Louise, keep it in your pants. All righty, we're coming on back.
When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first 3 orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
Celebrate and save at Ashley's Anniversary Sale. With Hot Buys, your choice of colors starting at just $3.99. Ashley Sleep Mattresses starting at $2.50. Plus, receive a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. And shop top mattress brands like Stearns & Foster, Tempur-Pedic, Purple, and Beautyrest Black with 60-month special financing only at Ashley. Subject to credit approval. No minimum purchase required. Minimum monthly payment, down payment, tax, and delivery may be required. See store for details.
Oh, should we start this show?
Yeah, I'm down. Just buying a car on Carvana first.
Ooh, for real?
Yeah, it's super convenient. I already got pre-qualified in 2 minutes. All I had to do is answer a few questions.
Ooh, that's helpful.
And now just customizing my down and monthly payments.
Ooh, that's a very fair deal.
Yep. Boom. Just bought a car. And you get to take me to the Carvana vending machine in a couple days to pick it up.
Ooh.
I'm kind of busy.
Visit Carvana.com to finance your next car.
Financing subject to credit approval.
All righty, rocking and rolling. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll talk about the drama Dallas choking Cowboys. By the way, did you guys see Skip Bayless's tweet last night? The comma, very important. Now, I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to say this on the radio because there's no punctuation on the radio.
I think when you say the sentence, you have to say the comma.
Yes, that's what I was going to do. Because I do not want that as a drop for Stu to use against me for the rest of our friendship and the rest of our working relationship that the three of us do have. So Skip Bayless is annoyed last night with his Dallas Cowboys. I actually think he's a fugazi Dallas Cowboys fan. Because how many times in that small kitchen that he has, and I'm sure his house is very big, and I'm sure he lives in a mansion, but his kitchen is so small, and you see him walk down that narrow hallway and throw the same jersey in the trash can over and over and over again. I guess you got to play the hits, but I do feel like the bit is outdated. So Skip Bayless last night takes to Twitter to voice his frustration with the drama Dallas choking Cowboys. And he tweeted from the Jerry Jones comments, where Jerry Jones made it clear that they were all in this offseason. The Skip Bayless tweet was, all in, comma, my ass. And that went viral. I feel like I had to emphasize, my ass. But yeah, that's what Skip Bayless tweeted last night. So this thing blew up. It absolutely blew up. How many views do you think the Skip Bayless tweet of all in, comma, my ass did on social media last night on X?
Not as many as if the comma wasn't there.
You're not wrong. Obviously, the comma didn't really make a difference for me. Like, I get it makes a difference from a grammatical standpoint, but when I'm on Twitter, I don't read for punctuation. I just read, and then however the text comes up on the screen is how it just translates into my brain. But Samter, how many views do you think it did?
My guess would be 20 million.
20 million views. Stu?
I'll say 25 million views.
What is this, Price is Right? Come on.
Hey. 25 million. So that's 45 million if you combine that, correct?
Yeah.
Your guess and Stu's guess.
I'm guessing that both of us were way off.
68.1 million views.
Just wait till it gets to 69. It's almost there.
All in, comma, my ass. Jeez. Do you think when he tweeted that he knew what he was doing?
I mean, he is a former writer. So, like, you would think that punctuation and grammar probably matter to him. However, he's been so removed from that, and he's become such a hot take, you know, machine. Mm-hmm. At this point, I almost want to think that he didn't think of that.
I think it was not intentional. I think this was unintentional. He's 72 years old, and I don't want to discriminate here based off age, but just with my father, who is 64 and turned 65 on June 30th, there's a lot of times on social media where, let's just say, older people think that what they're tweeting is going to make sense to everybody else, and then you see it tweeted and you're like, oh, they didn't mean it that way, or it wasn't supposed to come off that way. And I think in this case, he was really just meaning to say, oh, the Dallas Cowboys, they're all in. You know, that's what Jerry Jones said. And then he was just like, my ass, like baloney, BS, bullcrap. He probably should have just tweeted all in, bull bleep. But the all in comma, my ass, is the reason why he goes viral.
Listen, without the comma, all in bull bleep is still pretty funny.
When do you think, because it was an innocuous tweet, I would agree. I wonder when the light bulb went off and it was like, oh, aha, this is why I'm getting dragged on social media. But for Skip, I think this is a win. It's a win because how many times does he go viral and when it gets dragged in like an ugly way and he looks like an imbecile? Like, at least here, I think this is just like a funny moment that everyone's just laughing at the expense of him. Like, I don't think he loses sleep over this compared to maybe some other things.
No, but I think the reason why people are enjoying it and it's getting up to 69 million views is because people despise Skip Bayless so much and they enjoy watching him make himself look like a clown, mm-hmm. whether it's intentional or not. So maybe he does lose sleep over it saying, man, why is this going viral? Is it because people hate me that much?
Yeah.
And the answer is yes.
By the way, do we have our new breaking news sounder? by any chance? If we could fire off that breaking news sounder, I have enormous breaking news. Go ahead, Stu. So there's been a lot in the news recently about Aaron Rodgers potentially being the VP candidate for RFK Jr. We have big Jets breaking news. Has nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers. The Jets are re-signing punter Thomas Morstead to a two-year deal worth over $5 million with NFL free agency and the new league year officially commencing at 4 p.m.
You should be fired for that.
Why?
You should be immediately suspended, and Stu and I should take over the rest of the show after what you just pulled. The fandom in me that says I hate the Jets and I'm no longer going to be a Jet fan, part of me got excited for a second. That old spirit that was inside my gut, all those other Jet fans out there, you know, their hearts leaped a little bit, and you just pulled that.
Well, I was inspired by the Skip Bayless tweet. Do a little trolling, you know, see a little trolling happen, and then I had to execute some trolling of my own. Real quickly before we take the break, guys like Saquon Barkley going from the Giants to the Eagles, Patrick Queen going from the Ravens to the Steelers, Aaron Jones getting released by Green Bay, immediate landing in Minnesota. I think this could be maybe the dumbest topic that we've ever done, but we're going to do it anyway. Does anyone actually fault those guys? Like, do you find it wrong to leave a team or get cut from a team and then go join the rival? I don't. Now, I like animosity in sports. I like rivalries. And I think there's some leagues right now where they don't encourage rivalries anymore. And I think the regular season product suffers because of it. But the Giants weren't willing to pay Saquon what he wanted. The Eagles were. I'm not faulting someone for taking more money. Patrick Queen couldn't get a deal done with the Ravens. The Steelers were willing to give him more than what he probably was going to get anywhere else. The Green Bay Packers literally kicked Aaron Jones to the curb. I have no problem with him winding up in Minnesota. Santer, you have a problem here with this?
There's something that is going away in sports. Rivalry is one of them.
Sure.
Integrity is another. It's fine to get the most money that you can get. But if you can get similar money and not go to a rival that you've supposed to have hated, a fan base, a town, a team that you've had to dislike and despise for years, go to the Steelers, go to the Chiefs, just don't go to the rival.
Yeah.
Right? It's just, listen, I don't begrudge him for getting the money. He wasn't getting it from the Giants. Leaving the Giants isn't the issue.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't tell me that those other teams that were looking for running backs weren't offering him similar money, like the Bears, weren't offering similar money to what he got with Philadelphia. And at the end of the day, integrity matters. And going to a rival like Aaron Jones did or like Saquon Barkley did.
They released Aaron Jones.
So you're still going to a rival.
So
Brett Favre playing his entire career in Green Bay and then going to the Vikings and his career is blasphemous.
Let me ask you this. Let's say you dated a girl for 5 years. You come home one day. She goes, Mike, I'm breaking your heart. We're breaking up. And then let's just say 3 months later, her smoking hot friend slides into your DMs and says, Mike, I want to go on a date with you. You're not going out with her?
It's totally different. I don't have a rivalry or a hatred for this girl.
But she was friends.
I wasn't told
with
by
your
my fan base and my previous team to hate this other girl.
I think it's similar. I want to go to Ack here real quickly because I heard him scoff when we brought up this topic. Do you have a problem with what's going on in sports now?
No.
Oh, not at all.
With these guys? No, I brought up, I scoffed at the literally kicking him to the curb. Figuratively.
Oh, okay.
No, I agree with you.
From my vantage point, I said that. You're right. That's what I said. And then I heard a noise from Ack, and then he put on his headphones. I thought Ack was ready to go to war and kick ass on either side or my side.
Quick, no, just a grammatical correction.
There was a video that came out of the Giants kicking Saquon in the butt, and he fell over a curb. So there was a literal kicking him to the curb. So, you know, there was that.
Ack is definitely a big grammar guy.
In the NFL, you can't hold a grudge against these
Would
guys.
You ever tweet out, all in, comma, my ass?
No,
if you were
I rarely,
frustrated.
You know me, I rarely tweet.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, sometimes it's good to just, you know, pause a second and either A, proofread or say, do I really want this out there? Yeah. Many people would say yes. I'm not one of them. You know.
Well, we know Richard Ackerman is all in, so let's get the latest CBS Sports Radio update. We'll come on back with the news brief. Here he is, the Ackman, Rich Ackerman.
Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
If you're the cooking queen in your house like I am, let me drop a kitchen hack that's been a total game changer for me. Primal Kitchen. I'm always on the go juggling a million things like work deadlines and school pickups, so finding time to eat right is tough. Primal Kitchen makes it super easy to whip up meals that check all the right boxes, like honest ingredients I trust and delicious flavor. They have everything from unsweetened ketchup to barbecue sauce, avocado oil mayo you'll want to eat by the spoonful, and dressings that double as marinades. Genius, right? If you want to make quick, simple meals you can feel good feeding yourself and your family, trust me, Primal Kitchen has you covered. You can find Primal Kitchen at Target, Walmart, or any of your local grocery stores, or you can save 20% off your entire online order with code PODCAST at checkout on PrimalKitchen.com.
When something happens to your car, you might say, but what you really need to say is something that can actually help.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And just like that, State Farm is there to help you file your claim right on the State Farm mobile app. So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question, brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show when we might answer your question. You can think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. All righty, remember the whole back and forth with Mecole Hardman and Sauce Gardner? Well, Sauce Gardner was on the Pivot podcast with Ryan Clark, Channing Crowder, and Fred Taylor. And Sauce Gardner responded to Mecole Hardman.
When I first met Miko, first thing I thought is, like, he talk a lot. If you really know what it is, what it takes to win, you're going to make sure you let the team know. The reason he couldn't do that is because he never earned his stripes. He came in the facility and just thought he had a made for him. Like, if you know what it takes to win, you're not going to go to practice and drop hella punts and then have excuses to why you're dropping them. You know, you're not going to go in a special teams meeting and get cussed out by the special team coordinator. Like, it's just certain things that's not going to happen if you truly know what it takes to win.
I struggle with this one. Here's why. Because I lean more so I'm on the side of Sauce Gardner. But I think there's a lot of irony even acknowledging Sauce Gardner is a 10-time better football player than what Mecole Hardman is. But Sauce Gardner basically lecturing Mecole Hardman on what you, like, what it takes to win when you haven't won anything in the NFL. And I know it's only been 2 years. I do find that very ironic in a funny way. Like, we all, Sauce elite player. Mecole Hardman is not. Is that just Sauce's way of saying you have the championships, but without Mahomes and Kelsey and Reed, you don't know what it takes to win on it on your own? That's how I kind of took it, but I don't think that message can be coming from Sauce Gardner, who so far, young career, has won nothing in the NFL.
I mean, listen, Mecole came out recently and said the Jets don't have a winning culture. The Jets don't know how to win. He tried to come in there and show them, hey, I've won, but you guys aren't listening to me. you're getting these other guys, you know, more reps than me. I know what it takes to win. Mm. And so if you're going to call it the Jets organization, call it the Jets culture and say that they can't win, and Sauce Gardner's going to be like, listen, the reason why you weren't getting the reps was because you were dropping punts.
Yeah.
You sucked. If you think that you can come in here and tell us what it takes to win, then show us what it takes to win. You weren't showing us that. So I think it's a fair criticism from Sauce. It doesn't seem like it was personal of Mecole against Sauce. It was more Mecole against the Jets, and Sauce is just defending his organization.
The Jets have been in the news a lot this offseason. The Rodgers, RFK Jr. stuff, Deion Dawkins going after the Jets culture, Mecole Hardman going after the Jets culture. This is shaping up for another disappointing season of Jets football. So C.J. Gardner-Johnson is back with the Philadelphia Eagles. He got, I think he was traded or released from the Saints. He played 1 year in Philly. They go to the Super Bowl, they lose. And then he had a very contentious exit. He wanted to go back to Philly, but then he did land with the Lions for a season. Now back on a 3-year deal with the Eagles. This was on Twitch a year ago when he left Philadelphia, and he lists his favorite thing about Philadelphia.
All right, my least favorite thing is the people. It's obnoxious. I can't stand it. Favorite thing, the weather was a dub. I with the weather. It's cold, but I with it though.
He just took a crap on the fans. And then yesterday had to issue an apology. I owe Philly fans an apology because the organization basically said, oh, we want you back. We want to pay you. But here's the thing. Philly fans will forgive C.J. Gardner-Johnson because he's one of their own once again. That's just wild. And in the background, I'm like, what are those machetes going off? And then I forgot that it's on Twitch, so there's some video game being played. Here is Adam Schefter, Shifty, as his friends call him, on ESPN on the Justin Fields not-so-robust market.
Now he's sitting there, and it doesn't look like there's a starting job out there at this particular moment. And so the teams that are looking at him would be looking at him as a backup. And would Chicago then get the value that it wants? And what does Chicago do about that? He fits in so many places. None of them make moves. And here he is back in Chicago, and the Bears will have to wait to see what opportunities arise. But it certainly doesn't seem right now like anything is imminent with Justin Fields.
Unless someone comes to the table and makes a great offer, we won't see a Justin Fields deal until after the first round of the draft, when more dominoes do fall. I've said this before. I think the Raiders should be in play for him, and I would consider the Seahawks as a dark horse. Those are two potential starting situations for Justin Fields. The Raiders, you go starting tomorrow. I think for the Seahawks, you need Geno Smith to struggle a little bit, but if it's not those two teams, I'm starting to think that we're going to get to a situation where he's QB2. I do not think they're going to trade him to the Minnesota Vikings. Let's go to Jason and Travis Kelce on the New Heights podcast. They're very popular podcast. And they were talking about Saquon Barkley landing with the Eagles.
You know Saquon is entering a good situation in Philadelphia. Social media has been nonstop saying, Jason, you sure you want to retire? And I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty positive, even though a little bit upset how he waited till I retired to make a move like this. But, you know, it's fine. it'll work out.
The skill positions in Philly.
It's pretty good. You got A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert.
You have Pro Bowlers at every starter.
It's crazy.
Every starter on, really not even
Howie
the skill.
Season, baby.
The Howie every season. Starter on that Philly offense is a Pro Bowler. Every single one of them.
I got a little nervous there with that bleep. I thought we were a little late on that bleep for a second. But here's the thing. I don't believe Jason Kelce can come back. When you were that emotional at retirement, I don't think all of a sudden the next week you could say, oh, Saquon Barkley's back, so I'm coming back to join the team. But what happens if we get to like week 8, week 9, and let's say Cam Jurgens or Landon Dickerson on the interior of that offensive line gets hurt? Howie Roseman calls up the Eagles or calls up Jason Kelce. Do you think Jason Kelce would come on back and join the Eagles if it's for the second half of the season, Santa?
No.
Right? Once you cry that much at your goodbye press conference, I think you got to be done with the NFL. Here is Isaiah Thomas on the Draymond Green Show on The Volume saying Steph Curry isn't a point guard.
When you define the position of point guard on the Golden State Warriors, you are the point guard. You have more assists than Steph. You bring the ball up. You initiate the offense. You set the defense. You run the show. Steph comes off screens. He catches and he shoots. And he's one of the greatest shooters ever. I won a different way. As a point guard, I led my team in scoring and assists to back-to-back championships. When I look at Steph, when he talks about the people that he's emulated, he talks about Reggie Miller, he talks about Ray Allen. But when you talk about the point guard position, the way I was taught and the way I think of it, for the Golden State Warriors, you're the point guard, and that's okay.
He's not wrong, Isaiah Thomas. And from the traditional definition of point guard, Steph is not a traditional point guard. But in the NBA right now, you don't have many traditional point guards because of the way, a big part of it is because of the way that Steph has just made this like a video game, has shot the ball at an unconscious level, an unconscious rate from behind the arc. So I get what Isaiah Thomas is saying, but when all's said and done, we're going to say Steph Curry was a point guard, but there's different levels of being a point guard. It was kind of similar with Allen Iverson. There was always those debates. Is he a point guard or a shooting guard? For Steph, yeah, he feels like from the traditional value, more so of a shooting guard. He emulates more shooters, and he's the greatest shooter that we've ever seen. But just this past summer, Magic Johnson was annoyed, and he said so to me, and he kind of went off on Steph Curry. And Steph heard that audio because I know someone that knows Steph, and Steph brought it up about what Magic said. And you could tell that it got under the skin of Magic Johnson that people were saying Steph is a better point guard all time than him. Now, I don't believe he is, but that conversation's already happening. So I don't think 10, 15 years from now, people are going to say, oh, yeah, Steph wasn't a point guard, but there is old school, new school ways of being a point guard. Alrighty, that is the news brief. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Let's take a timeout. When we come on back, oh, boy, you thought it was one thing already with Dak Prescott's brother. Now there are more tweets from Dak Prescott's brother. I've always said this, and I've told this to my family as well. I'm not comparing myself to Dak Prescott because I don't have as much fame as Dak Prescott. But I always tell my family, even if your heart's in the right place and you're trying to defend me, don't do it. Because I don't think it ever looks good for an athlete or a public figure to have their family talking crap about a place they work with or crap about their fans, even if it's because some not so nice things are being said about your loved one. So we'll get into Dak Prescott's brother and why the Cowboys are all in, comma, my ass when we return.
Celebrate and save at Ashley's Anniversary Sale. With Hot Buys, your choice of colors starting at just $3.99. Ashley Sleep Mattresses starting at $2.50. Plus, receive a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. And shop top mattress brands like Stearns & Foster, Tempur-Pedic, Purple, and Beautyrest Black with 60-month special financing only at Ashley. Subject to credit approval, no minimum purchase required. Minimum monthly payment, down payment, tax, and delivery may be required. See store for details.
For the past 20 years, you've enjoyed the refreshing tropical lime flavor of Mountain Dew Baja Blast. So in celebration of this milestone, we're bringing Baja Blast in stores nationwide. And for a limited time with every purchase of Baja Blast, you can collect coins for a chance to get Baja gear or a Taco Bell deal. 2024 is the year of Baja Blast. In stores now. No purchase necessary. Open to U.S. residents 18 plus. Subject to official rules at BajaBlast.com and 615-24. Void where prohibited.
Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.